If there is a moment when we merge emotion and expression in a form of prayer, it is for Rabbi Soloveitchik, the sounding of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Throughout the Musaf, we recite words, but we join it with the shofar's cry, which is itself an expression of the inner cry of our hearts. Welcome to A Journey Through the Machzor, Episode 24, The Final Cry. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. A story of Winston Churchill. The great man was snoozing during the droning speech of another member of Parliament. And this member, angrily looking at Churchill, asked, "Must you sleep while I am speaking?" And Churchill gave the reply, "No, it is purely voluntary." We think of this anecdote as we ponder the explanation famously given by Maimonides for the ritual of the sounding of the shofar. Remez yeshbo. There is a hint in it. Uru yishenem mishenatchem v'nirdamim mitardei matchem. Wake up, those that sleep, from your slumber. Nappers, from your dozing. V'chipsu b'maseichem. Engage in an examination of your actions. V'chazru b'tshuva. And return in repentance. The point for Maimonides is that we are somnambulists spiritually. We are voluntarily asleep, not focused on what is most important. And the shofar on Rosh Hashanah is a cry that startles us to live life with alacrity in a state of wakefulness. It is with this in mind that we can realize why it may be difficult to understand a ritual that is now universal tradition. In synagogues around the world, the shofar is sounded not only on Rosh Hashanah, but also at the conclusion of Yom Kippur. First, as the sun is setting, Jews recite the service known as Ne'ilah, or closing, a word that refers, apparently, to both the original closing of the gates of the temple as well as, in our mind's eye, to the closing of the gates of heaven as the sacred day comes to a close. The emotion, therefore, in this prayer is profound. But then, as the prayer comes to a conclusion, suddenly the shofar sounds, in some communities, a full set, the notes known as Tkiah Shvarim Truah Tkiah, in other locations, only a long blast known as Tkiah Gedolah resounds through the sanctuary. But why would we engage in this ritual if no obligation exists for it in the Torah? A further testimony to the mysterious nature of the ritual is the fact that many different explanations have been offered throughout the centuries. For the author of the medieval code Arba'at Turim, the ritual is meant to remind us of the shofar that was sounded every 50 years in the Holy Land in biblical times, marking the Jubilee, because originally the Jubilee was marked by the shofar on Yom Kippur. For the author of Aruch HaShulchan, Rabbi Yechiel Epstein, the shofar is meant to be a signal, a joyous one. The Yom Kippur has come to a conclusion. But a particularly resonant explanation has been offered by Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik. And in order to truly ponder it, we must consider the meaning of prayer itself. Prayer, as we have discussed in our journey through the Siddur, is meant to be an intimate encounter with God. We speak, but what we express is also meant to be a reification of what is in our hearts. Maimonides describes prayer as avodah shebalev, service of the heart. And it is indeed the devotion of our heart that allows us to create a metaphysical link in prayer to God. For Rabbi Soloveitchik, and I paraphrase his description, prayer is a parallel to prophecy, but also the reverse of it. Both involve intimate encounters with the Almighty. The difference, as he described, is that in prophecy, God summons the prophet who replies, "Hineni," here I am. Whereas in prayer, we reach out with word and heart to God, and God responds, "Hineni, I am here before you." If there is a moment when we merge emotion and expression in a form of prayer, it is for Rabbi Soloveitchik, the sounding of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Throughout the Musaf, we recite words, but we join it with the shofar's cry, which is itself an expression of the inner cry of our hearts, of the innermost essence of prayer. Thus we say, following every set of shofar blasts in Musaf, Areshet Sifateinu Yerav Lefanecha, please God, the words we recite with our lips should be pleasant to you. Mevin Umazin Lekol Tekiyateinu, you who understand and listen to the voice of our tekiyah, our shofar blast. We are saying, in other words, God, accept our prayers, and do so because you also hear the cry of the shofar, which is meant to embody the cry that is within our hearts. The question, however, is whether throughout the lengthy High Holy Day service, we apply to the sacred words of the Machzor the emotion they deserve? Does the cry of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah actually parallel what is within our hearts throughout these sacred days as we pray? For Rabbi Soloveitchik, often, as Yom Kippur comes to a close, we realize that perhaps we did not express all that we could emotionally to God, that our prayer has been lacking in some way. Or as Rabbi Soloveitchik put it, and this is a translation from the Hebrew version, when a person reaches Ni'ilah, he feels disappointed with himself, that he hasn't really prayed. That is how Rabbi Soloveitchik put it. Following Ni'ilah, a series of verses are exultantly recited aloud. Shema Yisrael, Hear, O Israel. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Li'olam Va'ed. Blessed is God's glorious sovereign name forever. And then seven times, Hashem Hu Elokim, the Lord is God. Describing the Tkia, Trua Tkia, the various notes of the shofar that appear following this recitation, Rabbi Soloveitchik interprets, fascinatingly, the shofar blasts not as a triumphal end to Yom Kippur, but one last desperate cry in order to make up for any way in which our prayers might have been lacking until this point. Or as he puts it, and this again is a translation from the Hebrew, describing the conclusion of Ni'ilah. And then a person begins to scream from his heart, Shema Yisrael, and he thinks that he will be satisfied with his calling out, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Li'olam Va'ed, and he still does not feel better. And he begins shouting an even smaller sentence, The Lord is God, and he repeats it seven times, and he still is not soothed. Suddenly, the still silence is shattered by a tkia, trua tkia. This is what Rabbi Soloveitchik wrote. These are his words in English translation. And the question, therefore, studying the Machzor before Yom Kippur, is, will we need the shofar to represent us? Or will we allow the shofar we hear on Rosh Hashanah to inspire the cries that will be in our heart as we read the words of the sacred Machzor aloud? Given all that has occurred in the past year and the fragility and vulnerability of Jewish life that has been reified, as well as the resiliency of courage and inspiration that we have seen, will there also be a resonant shofar cry within us as we read the Machzor's words? For Rabbi Soloveitchik, we do not need to be a prophet or the high priest in order to encounter the Almighty. All we need do is truly wish to pour out our hearts to Him and make the cry of the shofar our own. And then God will be there with us saying, as the prophet says to God, Hineni, I am here, because the shofar's cry of your heart called out to me. Contemplating the final cry of the shofar at the conclusion of Yom Kippur is a reminder to think of the shofar and all that it has embodied in Jewish history, and then make its external cry a clarion call in our hearts. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to concluding with you our series tomorrow on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Signing off.